All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, and we are in a series, The Blessing of the Lord. The lesson today is The Favor of the Lord, Part 3. It is September 2nd, 2022. I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, on the ground of the work of salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished, his body and blood sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin and to bring redemption and the forgiveness of sin, and so much more, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. And so, Lord, we ask now for your Holy Spirit to come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, and as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us and to help us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, that what we say here today will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. All right, so the favor of the Lord brings a bold confidence. Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to save. The old system of worship would be replaced by a new and better covenant of grace as Jesus came as the Messiah, the surety of the covenant, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, and so much more. But a person must repent and believe. Believers in Jesus Christ enter into the rest of God. He gives rest to those who labor and are heavy laden. Those who take his yoke upon them and learn from him find rest for their souls. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. So with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter's sermon resulted in 3,000 people saved. These were those who embraced Peter's message about Jesus Christ. Acts 2 speaks of the fellowship of the believers. So there we have an account of the infant church. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A sense of awe came over everyone, and the apostles performed many wonders and signs. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they shared with anyone who was in need. With one accord, they continued to meet daily in the temple courts and to break bread from house to house, sharing their meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. I apologize, I'm having trouble with my voice right now. From this passage, we can note that these early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to taking communion together, and to prayer. This prayer was corporate, public, and private. As they did this, a sense of awe came over everyone. The apostles performed many signs and wonders. In this infant church, all the believers were together and held things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and shared with anyone who was in need. Now the word possessions stands for real property. That would be like land, real estate, they call it. We call it now real property. Goods, that word was for personal property. There seems to be an effort to determine legitimate need. So not everyone who applied received. And that's according to Ellicott's commentary. We can note, however, that as the infant church grew, the economics of this did not work out well. For eventually, we read of what we call the Jerusalem Relief Fund being collected. These early believers continued to meet daily in the temple courts, speaking of worship. They shared meals with gladness and sincerity of heart. They praised God. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. So all that they were doing led to favor. Favor led to people being added to their number every day as God granted grace and favor to the infant church. We need the favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:12. The king's anger is as dangerous as a lion's, but his favor is as refreshing as the dew on grass. Another version says it like this. The king's anger is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like welcome rain. Proverbs 16:15. When a ruler is happy and pleased with you, it's like refreshing rain, and you will live. So when we have the Lord's favor in our lives, we will experience times of refreshing and live. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Swerve out of the way from evil, from that which is malicious. Hate evil, cling to what is good. Do good. And you can see Psalm 34, verse 16, Psalm 109, verse 13, Proverbs 10, verse 7. 1 Peter 3:10-12. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are inclined to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So how do we get this favor from God? Number one, prayer. Prayer brings favor. Prayer changes things. God wants to hear the prayers of the righteous. First, we can turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. I always thank my God for you because of the grace he has given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all speech and all knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will sustain you to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Paul experienced some scary stuff, times when death was certain. There were times when the attack was beyond what someone could endure, violent times, overwhelming times. Yet God delivered him, and he does deliver and will deliver. Paul prayed, and he also had people praying for him. This resulted in favor, experiencing deliverance from dangerous times and pending death. But there was also comfort. The Word of God informs our experiences. Psalm 119, verse 58. I entreated your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. The word entreated here means to be rubbed or worn, even to the point of being wounded. We have to really want God's favor. We have to pursue it, pursue peace, seek the Lord for forgiveness when we sin, and experience that fatherly displeasure. If you're a true believer, you'll know it when you're experiencing what we call fatherly displeasure. And we are to pursue the Lord, asking him to grant repentance. Remember, repentance is a lifestyle. And for that, you can see 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. A second way to get favor, according to the book of Proverbs, is a three-step process of listening, watching, and waiting. Proverbs 8, 32 to 36. Now, this is the person that we're supposed to get, is wisdom. Wisdom. So wisdom is talking here. And now, O sons, listen to me, wisdom. Blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor with the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Proverbs 8, 32 to 36. God is God only wise. Christ is the wisdom of God, God in flesh appearing. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This passage tells us to listen, to perceive with interest for the purpose of obeying with a heart to obey. We are to watch and thus stay awake and be alert daily. The New Testament provides lots of encouragement to be alert for varying reasons, especially in reference to Jesus coming again. So we are to wait, stand guard, observe, and give heed like a watchman on the wall. Listen up and pay attention. Look circumspectly every day. Live with a confident hope as one waiting expectantly at wisdom's doors. Find wisdom and find life, obtaining favor from the Lord. And take note of this truth, that the one who fails to find wisdom injures himself. All who hate wisdom love death. Now, a third way to receive favor from the Lord is found in Proverbs 13, verses 13 to 15. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Proverbs 13, verses 13 to 15. The teaching of the wise, when received with understanding, is rewarded. good sense wins favor. That's an actual Bible verse, not a commentary. That's Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good sense wins favor. Okay. A teacher can teach, but the responsibility to learn is on the learner. We have to be more than just hearers of the word. We must apply the word and be doers of it, as James exhorts in his epistle. Jesus came, he is the Christ, the anointed one, the wisdom of God. He taught truth. He modeled it. He utilized on-the-job training for his disciples. And not everyone received Jesus or his good news. So we give out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are called to do that as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And we must be accurate in our presentation of the gospel. But the results are up to God. So we are called to be witnesses, and the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. So we are to testify of Jesus Christ and talk to people about the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus saves. We can't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. But our responsibility is to give to anyone who asks the hope that is within us. We always are to be ready to give the basis for our hope. Teaching imparts knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 states, "My people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst." And that's the end of the quote. There are severe consequences for lack of knowledge. Jesus on the road to Emmaus went through all the scriptures demonstrating why it was necessary for the Christ to die. He taught them and supplied knowledge, but they didn't get it until he opened their eyes to understand. Jesus revealed truth. When that happened, the veil was removed and transformation began to happen. And when Jesus reveals truth, that's what happened. Transformation starts to happen. Now these two are no longer grieving on the road to Emmaus, but they got excited. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread because Jesus opened the eyes of their understanding. Favor begins to materialize. We keep pressing in and pressing forward. Paul says of himself in Philippians 3, verses 13 to 15, "Brothers or brethren, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal or the mark to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should embrace this point of view. And if you think differently about some issue, God will reveal this to you as well. Philippians 3, verses 13 to 15. The favor of the Lord comes with advancing in wisdom. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, Luke 2, 52. And one last thing I want to talk about from Hebrews chapter 4. From Hebrews 4, we learn that Moses would not enter the promised land. He died. But to Joshua, God said, Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's Joshua 1, verses 2 and 5. Joshua told the people, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Joshua 1, verse 13. Hebrews 4 speaks of a Sabbath rest, a rest such that he who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Hebrews 4, 10 and 11. Is the rest of God. The children of Israel did not enter into this rest because of disobedience, a disobedience that resulted from unbelief. Verse 10 and 11. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest anyone fail or fall, lest anyone fall after the same example of unbelief. We are invited to enter into God's rest, spending our years in the Sabbath keeping of God, sharing it, the rest of a finished work. When God rested from the act of creation, he didn't become weary and he didn't continue inactive. That's a misconception, like God did all the creation and like a clock, he wound up the clock and then just stopped. That's deism. But no, that's not. Jesus said, my Father works hitherto. So God the Father is ever at work. And he said, my Father is working right now. And that he, Jesus, was working right up to this very moment. Okay, so the Godhead is ever at work, repairing, renewing, and sustaining. But the creation was a finished work, meeting with God's approval, satisfying fully and very good. God's rest would bring us to equilibrium. As we think about this invitation to enter God's rest, we are encouraged to understand that Jesus, our great Joshua, has entered into it for us. He also has ceased from his own work of redemption, as God did from his work of creation. The redemptive work of Christ is a finished work. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. He sits at the right hand of the Almighty, ever interceding as high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Maybe we have received the rest of salvation and even found the rest of submission. In the first, we receive the rest that Jesus gives. In the second, we find rest for our souls. This rest, however, we enter, this rest of God. We possess the land. Unbelief is the root of all sin. Yet we indulge in it every time we turn away and believe another wisdom, another word, another way. Hudson Taylor struggled against sin, living out what Paul wrote about in Romans 7. Hudson Taylor found the answer as the Holy Spirit revealed the truth of our oneness with Jesus. But how to get faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, but by resting in the faithful one. And that is from Hudson Taylor. I'll read Hudson Taylor's quote again. But how to get faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, but by resting on the faithful one. Trust the Word of God. Evaluate. Consider the warnings in Scripture. We drift, we doubt, we disbelieve, we disobey, we die. We drift, we doubt, we disbelieve, we disobey, we die. That's the progression. So we disobey because there's something we don't believe. We need to agree with the Word of God, say the same thing. We learn to hold fast to our confession of the faith. And we confess Jesus Christ. So we have to believe in Jesus. We have to believe Jesus. And we have to believe what Jesus believes. Yes, he has certain things he definitely believes. And he makes these statements that are strong because his faith is what he absolutely knows to be true. And so it's like, believe me when I tell you this. And he says something. Jesus sympathizes. After all, it is the way of the cross. It is death that leads to resurrection. Jesus bound Satan in the wilderness when he refused self-gratification. That was, you know, eat this bread, why should you be hungry? When he refused self-will, that was the throw yourself down part, and self-determination of destiny. And when he refused self-seeking, when Satan said, you know, wanted him to worship him, to worship Satan, like saying, worship me, Satan, and you can have all the kingdoms of the world. Okay, that Jesus refused self-seeking. Sins of the body, sins of the soul, sins of the spirit. Jesus knows. He learned obedience in the things which he suffered. And that is really talking about the things which he experienced. All kinds of suffering. Being falsely accused, being rejected, you know, get away from me because he was holy, and all kinds of things all the time. Don't think Jesus was, oh, Mr. Popular. No, they wanted the healing. They wanted the picnic. They loved the picnic, but when he started teaching, they started leaving. So much so that in John 6, Jesus asked to his disciples, will you also go away? Because some of the sayings of Scripture are hard sayings. And some people have written books about the hard sayings of Jesus. And they are truth. And that's just the way it is. Jesus comforts us on our way to the cross, for he knows what lies beyond, and that is the crown. So Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need or in a timely way. We may obtain grace to help, and that's to grace and favor, to help in time of need or in a timely way. The Christian life is a grace life. The just shall live by faith. Those justified by grace live by faith in future grace, By grace, we are continually being saved. We trust for this grace. We come boldly to this throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor. Now, that boldness is not being brassy or bratty. We're not to approach the throne of grace being a brat or being brassy in our speech and everything. No, always keep God in his place and keep ourselves in our place. Know your place. It's really not a good move to do what I've heard preached and, you know, advise people to get in God's face and get what you want. That is not wise. That is not wise. So our salvation was purchased by Christ's own blood and body, offered as a sacrifice for our sin. Because of this, we can draw near with boldness and confidence. See, let us draw near, receive the grace we need to face the Father, to be judged by the word of truth, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to become all that God has declared us to be in Christ. How do we obtain mercy and find grace and favor? We bring God the Word, Jesus Christ. We come with faith in the Word and offer the Word to obtain the mercy and find the grace that we need. We receive as we give to God His Word, His Son, His promises, His working of salvation in us. The living God is the God of all grace. Amen. And so now, may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.